How do you honor God? By doing everything to the glory of God. Not just not sinning, not just, okay, you don't steal from people, but by making good shoes.
If we're going to talk about you were a new creation, that means everything has to change.
Why does God not just, you know, bring people to heaven immediately after being saved? It's because there's stuff to do here. There's a point to all of this. And if we're Christians, we do it better, or at least in theory.
But if we really apply the standard that's set in Scripture, then we know that no one is good because no one is God.
We serve a storyteller. We serve a God who has a perfect plan, a sovereign will for every moment of history.
It's not about going into the world to make artists. It's about going into the world to make disciples.
Hello, hello. We are here. This is The Christian Artist, Honoring Christ Through Creativity. My name is Caleb.
My name is Connor.
My name is Mickey.
And my name is Carly.
And we are here.
Something funny about your name?
No, everything's fine.
I see you and Connor are matching today. Got bright red shirts. Oh, yeah.
We were both wearing gray shorts earlier today too. It was kind of obnoxious.
That's funny. So we're here with another episode of The Christian Artist. We have the entire Powers family. Well, you know, of us, you know, here, our two families is what I meant. You know, the entirety of our two families on the screen right now. Because
sorry, Chase, if you're listening.
I meant our two families because we have Finn here on the screen. If you're just listening to the podcast on audio, you're missing out. Go check out the video. There's a cute baby. And then Mickey obviously has baby powers there as well. So, yeah.
In your belly, do you want to give your baby some screen time?
There you go.
I don't know. Is that the baby or the Oreo cheesecake? I think.
Could be both.
At least until further into the second trimester.
So speaking of babies, some big news in the world has been happening. Apparently there was a leak by some clerk. It seems intentional. It seems like someone wanted this to happen because this is like the first time a court opinion has been leaked beforehand, like in the history of its entire existence. It looks like the justices on the Supreme Court right now are looking to strike down Roe v. Wade. That seems like what their current like stance is. Like that's, you know, what's in the cards in terms of what I can't remember the specific terminology for what it is exactly, but if it was to go through right now, if it was to finalize right now, it would Roe v. Wade be overturned. We'll see if that actually happens. But does anyone have any thoughts on this turn of events?
Well, why don't we talk a little bit about like what exactly happened with Roe versus Wade?
Yeah.
Give kind of like some
historical context.
Historical context and not just like what most people think happened.
Mm-hmm. Go for it. Were you recommending yourself? Were you volunteering yourself? Were you volunteering me? Okay.
No.
He's just eating his cheesecake.
Yeah.
Yes, classic Connor on the podcast eating.
Yeah, gotta bring him back, man.
Thanks for encouraging him, Mickey. This is all your fault.
So from this is called Legal Information Institute.
It looks like it's from Cornell University.
So their catchphrase is open access to law since 1992. What they said, so this is their overview, is the case involved a Texas statute that prohibited abortion except when necessary to save the life of the pregnant woman. The Supreme Court, in a decision written by Justice Blackmun, recognized a privacy interest in abortions. In doing so, the court applied the right to privacy established in Griswold versus Connecticut, 1965. At stake in this matter was the fundamental right of a woman to decide whether or not to terminate her pregnancy. The underlying values of this right included decisional autonomy and physical consequences, i.e. the interest in bodily integrity. Because there was a fundamental right involved, the court applied the strict scrutiny test. The court divided the pregnancy period into three trimesters. During the first trimester, the decision was to terminate the pregnancy was or the decision to terminate the pregnancy was solely at the discretion of the woman. After the first trimester, the state could regulate procedure. During the second trimester, the state could regulate and not outlaw abortions in the interests of the mother's health. After the second trimester, the fetus became viable, and the state could regulate or outlaw abortions in the interest of the potential life, except when necessary to preserve the life or health of the mother. Justice White and Justice Rehnquist separate dissents emphasized that the people and the legislatures, not the court, should weigh this matter. Justice White argued its judgment is an improvident and extravagant exercise of the power of judicial review. The Constitution extends to this court. Justice Rehnquist believed that the majority had misconstrued privacy and argued that the court's sweeping invalidation of any restrictions on abortion during the first trimester is impossible to justify under the standard. So then obviously after this, the decision in Roe faced a great deal of controversy in 46 states needed to change their abortion laws as a result of the holding. And almost 30 years later, the Supreme Court revisited the issue of abortion in Casey versus Planned Parenthood in 1992. The Casey court kept three findings made in Roe. Women have the right to abort pre-viability without undue interference from the state. The state may restrict abortion post-viability. The state has a legitimate interest in protecting women's health and the life of the fetus. And so essentially, one of the biggest things that I think happened, this wasn't as big of a resource as I thought it was, but one of the biggest things that...
After you read it all off.
Yeah. Well, I had read half of it, yeah. And I was like, "Oh, okay. This is very like detailed." One of the biggest things that I think is important to understand is that this was a woman who lied about being raped and pregnant, and that was what Roe versus Wade was all about. That was who Roe was. And basically the court's decision was under the pretense that we don't know and can't determine whether or not a baby in the womb is actually a human at conception or during viability or whatever. And so we don't really know. And this was before ultrasound technology was as advanced as we are. And so that was kind of the precedent that they set when they did this. And then after the case itself, Roe became a Christian later and recognized and fought against abortion.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Because she realized that everything that she was doing in that court was a lie. And she was like, wow, this is all awful. And abortion is actually wrong. And so that is a lot of the background as to what Roe versus Wade was. But on the comment here that they say that 46 states needed to change their abortion laws as a result of the holding is preposterous, because a Supreme Court opinion can't make law. And certain things could come to the Supreme Court and be like, oh, yeah, we already decided this in 1972 with Roe versus Wade. And so they would just automatically rule in favor of the abortion. What's the word I'm looking for? In favor of the abortion, abortion stance, the pro-abortion stance or whatever, they would favor that party. By a state making a law that prohibits abortion, that's not against federal law, because federal law can't make, the Supreme Court can't make laws for states. They can't decide what the state should do. It was a court opinion and a faulty court opinion, because the entire case is based upon a lie. And so the fact that the states needed to change, or else they'd be like, I don't know, in violation of the Supreme Court's opinion, is just preposterous. And I forget exactly when it was, but we have an example of even Wisconsin disobeying federal law. And again, Roe versus Wade isn't federal law, but we have an example of Wisconsin disobeying federal law when there was a black slave that, or I believe it was, yeah, no, there was a black man imprisoned in Wisconsin, in a prison in Wisconsin, and a bunch of people got together and broke into the it was probably jail, actually. They broke into his holding cell, like broke him out and let him go. But it was federal law that if you found a black slave, you had to return to his master. And a bunch of people in Wisconsin were like, heck no, we're not going to let this guy just go back to his master because that's wrong. This is a human being. And so they broke the guy out. And then the federal government identified the like leader of the break-in, like the leader of like the uprising or whatever, and told the state of Wisconsin to arrest him. And the state of Wisconsin said, no, this is an unconstitutional law. Black people are people, and we're not going to arrest him. And the federal government didn't do anything because they were right. It was unconstitutional. Yeah. And so the idea that is presented is kind of like Roe versus Wade made something happen in America. You know, it set a principle, it set a foundation for law, and it's just not true. So the idea that Roe versus Wade needs to be overturned in order to end abortion is preposterous, because as soon as Roe versus Wade gets overturned, if it does, states are just going to decide their own laws like they always have, and disobey the federal law whenever they want to, because that's what they're doing with pot right now. That's what we're doing with marijuana. Different states are disobeying federal law, and the federal government isn't doing anything.
Yep.
So like that's the situation we found ourselves in. And so I think the pro-life movement needs to forget about Roe versus Wade and go to their states and say, hey, abortion is murder. And we need to criminalize it and have equal protection for a baby as we would a human being, because a baby is a human being.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. The one thing, as all this has been happening, the one thing that I've been thinking, okay, this seems like it could be a good thing if Roe v. Wade actually does get overturned, which, you know, still up in the air as to whether or not that's going to happen. There's a lot of pressure now being put on the justices to change their opinions. Because that's how politics works in our day and age. You just get enough people to protest, and then people feel pressured by the masses. Even though it's actually illegal to protest outside of a justice's home, it's actually like against federal law to do that. And that's, of course, what's being done. And nobody's stopping them, which is fine.
Or if they burn down enough cities.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The good thing that could happen is if Roe versus Wade is actually overturned, then that will create a situation in which if a conservative state doesn't outlaw abortion, then we instantly know, that governor, he's a crook, right? Like he is like an evil man who isn't going to do something that's not even brave anymore, right? Like it's just like what his constituents will want, like specifically like conservative states. Like if they don't do that, like it's just money at that point, right? It's money and it's influence and stuff that they care about way more than stopping abortion. So I'm hoping that Roe v. Wade being overturned, if it does happen, puts Republican feet to the fire, and then so that efforts like End Abortion Now can have another tool in their tool belt to pressure governors to actually and other politicians to actually take a stand on this. So
it's definitely a win. the issue with the pro-life movement is that's like the goal.
Yes, exactly.
It's like end Roe versus Wade. Yep. And it's kind of like the cherry on top.
Yep.
Is overturning Roe versus Wade.
Yep.
Ending abortion in the battle of ending abortion, it's the cherry on top.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's not necessary. But it
does
helpful.
Add a little, you know, to the end of it or the beginning of it.
Even more so, like what, as to what you were saying, Kim, about like, the politicians for those states.
Yep.
It'll just expose people for actually not caring about babies.
Yep.
Like they've never actually cared about human beings in the womb. And, that'll expose a lot of things. And I especially am hoping to see what happens with the right to life movement, mm-hmm. like the National Right to Life movement, all those types of things. Because if they're like, oh, okay. You know, Roe versus Wade is overturned. So now, we can just pass the bill to end abortion right off the bat. And they're not going to do that. They're going to be like, well, let's make another heartbeat bill,
uh-huh.
and still not care about the babies. Yeah. And then we're still not going to end abortion.
Yep.
Or not criminalize those
right.
that yes, do exactly. murder their children.
Yeah, yeah,
maybe
yeah.
maybe it'll just be let's criminalize the doctors, but a woman that is pregnant and kills her baby at home, well, we're not going to prosecute her for that.
Yeah, because you know she didn't whatever. Know what she was doing. She just has so
right.
much, yeah, so on and so forth. Yeah, it's a whole thing here. And so leading into that too, I think there's the current situation that's going on. In Louisiana is very interesting because End Abortion Now and other abolitionist organizations are actually on the verge of accomplishing a full abortion ban in Louisiana, which would basically all it does is say unborn people from conception to birth are now included as persons that you can't murder. Right. So murder laws on the books will also apply to unborn children from conception onward, which that's like the simplest, most elegant solution. Like the way to write that bill that I could think of is just say, yes, you know, all this, you know, we don't like murder in this state. How about we just don't like murder for anyone? Right.
Instead of making abortion its own category of murder.
Exactly.
Yeah. Just be like, yeah. No, these people also are counted as victims if they are murdered.
Which is why Louisiana Right to Life right now, which is just trying to destroy this bill, just trying to be like, this is not yeah. the way to go, because they're trying to save their right to exist, because they need to pay their salaries.
Yep.
They're saying, so like tweet from them just today, actually, HB 813, really? This bill is self-defeating with no teeth and no enforceability. This is not what it means to be pro-life. Plus, it would treat our current body of pro-life laws as void, including informed consent, waiting periods, minor protections, ultrasound requirements, and every other piece of legislation we worked to pass since 1973. If criminal penalties is what you're after, check out SB 342, a bill that would criminalize the dangerous and disgusting abortion industry. The abolish abortion law will not abolish abortion. And it's just like, there's so much wrong with that tweet thread. It's like, just hilarious. Like, first of all,
it's like,
literally.
Oh, yeah, their incremental legislation that they worked so hard to pass will now be null and void because abortion won't be a thing anymore. Yeah, that's kind of the point.
but it's so damning for the pro-life
yeah.
movement to say, they of course they're going to hold on to the golden calves of all these laws that we put into place over all this time when we could have just been stopping abortion. All of these laws, that's what we have. Like, if we lose that, then literally, like, it of course it's damning for them. Of course they have to, like, push against this, because otherwise they didn't stop abortion, right? They didn't, they weren't the people who actually did something, and that is too much for them, right? They're
embarrassing.
It's so embarrassing.
Yikes.
It's like, especially they're like, all of these laws we worked to pass since 1973, it's like, yeah, okay, like, it took you 50 years.
Well, these people are going to accomplish in like maybe 2 years.
Give it
yeah. all yeah. yeah. Yeah.
Crazy. It took you 50 years to get this far, and you're not willing to go all the way.
Yeah. When you could have 50 years ago probably gotten an abortion ban law passed almost immediately if you had just had the guts to stand up to Roe v. Wade, because the amount of conservative, I mean, Louisiana right now is the most like pro-life state in the union.
Yeah.
50 years ago, can you imagine? Like, it's so crazy. And then, but then like their first tweet, HB 813, this bill is self-defeating with no teeth and no enforceability. Basically, what they're saying is murder laws aren't enforceable in our state.
Yep. Yeah.
We don't trust any of our law enforcement officers to prosecute people for murder. Because that's all it does, right? Yeah. It's crazy. So crazy. So yeah, if you are listening to this episode, go on Twitter, make a Twitter account if you have to. Go to @LARightToLife on Twitter and ratio all their tweets into oblivion. Just destroy them. Yeah, it's wild because literally, they're this close to literally just abolishing abortion in their state. This would be the first state in the union to just have a flat out abortion is outlawed in all cases, in every instance, in every situation. It's just done. And
that just gave me the goosebumps.
Right? The people who are going against it the hardest in Louisiana, because again, Louisiana is a very pro-life state, are the pro-life people. Is the Right to Life official organization. They're destroying, they've just been tweeting constantly about this. And then the tweets, it's been so funny. I've been scrolling down their feed. And then in between these tweets attacking the bill, they'll just be like, we just had a fundraiser for all this other stuff. And it's just like, how dare you? Like, these people are going to have to stand before God one day and Jesus is going to like hold up their fundraiser in his hand and be like, this is what you were doing when babies were being murdered and someone else was trying to stop it. That's what you were doing. Just
well, not only that, but like all of these people in this state and sometimes even outside of the state have been giving you money because they think and trust you that they can't do anything about it, but you can.
You've deceived them. You've played this game. Into
thinking that we're the ones that can end abortion and you can't. So give us your money. And that's what this is what they have to show for it. Mm-hmm. Another fundraiser.
Yep. For sure. So yeah, wild, crazy. I watched the Apologia radio episode that they did on the bill, just talking about what's happening there and talking with some of the people. And then I watched the actual court proceedings, or at least half the court proceedings of like them actually making the case before the legislation to basically pass the bill to the place where it gets voted on. There's some other stuff that needs to happen after this, but basically a bunch of people were saying this won't even get past the initial like vote to consider the bill. And it did by flying colors, which is wild and crazy. And like so very exciting watching that and seeing all the excitement about that. And it's like there's still a ways to go on that. But given the fight that these people have in them, the End Abortion Now people and the other people who have been working towards this, I'm hoping for great things. You know, God is good, and we'll see if, in His providence, He decides to let this happen, which would be huge. Especially, I mean, can you imagine though, if it actually does go through, and Roe v. Wade actually is overturned, if both of those things happen, and the Right to Life in Louisiana just is defunct. Like they literally just have to stop doing everything because there is no abortion in their state anymore. Yeah. Like, can you imagine how like just trend setting that could be throughout the whole country?
I think this could be a small domino that affects a lot of things.
Yeah.
And at this point we only need a small domino.
Yeah.
It is still astonishing to me that it's still astonishing to me that people can look around at people who are pro-abortion and be like, yeah, these people are normal, these people are like helpful to society, and not be like, whoa, we've got some wicked people here that are like, yeah, I'd murder my two-year-old if I had to. And like, thank goodness I don't need to because abortion exists. Like, that's the like mindset and like hearts of these people. They're just wicked, like enemies of the state.
Yep.
And it's so astonishing to me how we have been so conditioned to think abortion is fine that we can talk to these people and be like, oh yeah. They're just a Democrat.
Yeah.
They're just a liberal, rather than being like, holy cow. Like, the state needs to execute this person. This person is so wicked that they're bragging about how many babies they've murdered.
Yeah, it's not abnormal anymore.
No, it's not. So that's just a very, very alarming thing that we hopefully will change our mind about,
mm-hmm.
like change our demeanor about. Is you know, when somebody brags about murdering children, but we're astonished. That would be helpful.
Mm-hmm. Is that it? Is that the whole episode?
I think so.
Yeah, I mean, so let's tie. I'm gonna tie it in just briefly to like our kind of manifesto, mission statement stuff, right? So obviously, this is the Christian Artist, so we don't always have episodes that are just like, here's Elon Musk buys Twitter, or Roe v. Wade is might be overturned. But right, like the entire kind of microcosm for our podcast and our kind of manifesto is right, honoring Christ through creativity. So the point is, honoring Christ in every sphere of life, right? And the creativity is one of, that's a microcosm of how we should treat every sphere, right? So honoring Christ through whatever else you want to insert, unless it's something that's like a sin. But like, you know, I'm thinking categories of things. Honoring Christ through blank.
Well, yeah, honoring Christ in the category of sin. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yes. What I meant is you can't say honoring Christ through prostitution and have it make any sense.
Right.
Right. So yeah, just you want to cut that off right there. But that is the point of this podcast, is to kind of help you see as a Christian what these spheres are. And our primary focus typically has been creativity, but it also expands out from there to be, you know, they're Jesus is king right now over the entire world, and everything he says goes, and he has said a lot about a lot of things, right? And so every sphere, Jesus touches on every single sphere. If you look through scripture, it'll touch on every sphere, every category of thing is there. So we have to look to Christ to get the standard for creativity, for laws, for cultural engagement, for any of the things that could surround this abortion issue and beyond. So go out there, tweet LA Right to Life into oblivion, and honor Christ through creativity. There you go.
I think it's also just important for Christians to use social media and use whatever means they have to deal with these issues.
Yep.
Because if we're silent about these things, and if we, you know, are just hoping in our politicians to do the work for us because we believe a certain way, it's almost as if we're like the demons who believe and shudder but don't do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
As James 2 puts it. So, or I believe that's James 1 that puts it that way. I'm not sure. James 1 or 2.
The book of James.
The book of James. But we need to be willing to say, oh, okay, yeah, if I actually believe that babies are being murdered, like, am I doing something?
And you're scrolling on Instagram or Facebook, right, and you're scrolling past 30 stories or tapping through 30 stories of all of these people that are just like, stay out of my uterus, or all these old white men, or all these whatever, like, and you're just like, and you're not saying anything, you're not posting anything, you're not opposing them in any sort of way, shape, or form. Even on Facebook, you're, so many people are talking about this right now, and if, you know, you're not commenting on other people's things, or you're not posting yourself about this issue, then it's like, you know, I'm at home, Carly's at home, like, there's not very many, like, we're not out on the street, like, yelling from the rooftops, or like we haven't been to the abortion mill in Madison recently, but this is something that we can do from home. This mm-hmm. is something that like is important, and it matters to speak out or to say something.
And like it's, we should be doing something. I don't think that every person needs to go out to the abortion mill. I don't think that every person needs to post something on social media. But if we're not contributing in some way to as a church to the end of abortion, then you don't believe that abortion is murder. Then you don't believe that there's something bad happening. You know, you're just coasting, and say you believe a certain way, but your actions don't show it. And that means that we're the Germans in Nazi Germany, whose neighbors, the Jews, are being taken away to a concentration camp. And, you know, we just go about our lives and say, that's unfortunate. That's bad. You know, maybe hopefully one day my kids won't have to live in a society like this. And you go about your day and think about it often. And that's not believing that Jews are people.
Yeah.
That's hoping that things are different one day.
Because, mm-hmm. Yeah, as soon as I saw the Louisiana stuff, I was like, oh, man, well, I obviously can't be there. But there's one thing I can do. It's tweet it. Tweet.
Expose
LA Right to Life. Yeah, into oblivion and ask everybody else to do the same. Right. That sort of stuff is just simple things that, like, if you're not doing anything, then.
Yeah.
Like it's like so easy to do something.
Yeah.
So just do something, right? Like,
especially when so much of our time is consumed around social media anyway.
Mm-hmm. And something that Matt said recently, just in regards to politics in general, is there's already a liberal slope to politics, mm-hmm. because the liberals are the loud, angry people that don't go to work and like are. Like,
can I quote you on Facebook, Connor?
Just consumed by, what's that?
Can I quote that on Facebook?
Yeah, that's fine.
tag all of our liberal family members, and that'd be great.
Yeah. Yeah. Not a good idea.
No, please don't. Especially you, Chad. I'm looking at you.
Yeah.
But it. Like in general, now since you threatened to quote me, I'll nuance it and clarify.
Wow. Wow. Weak.
Like that is the political slope that we have, is mm-hmm. those people are louder. Yep. Those people are more aggressive, whereas they're trying to interfere with how everybody else lives their lives. Mm-hmm. Whereas for us Christian conservatives, we're like, we just want the government to leave us alone.
Yeah.
Do its job and leave us alone. And we just want to live happy, quiet, peaceful lives, as 1 Timothy 2 suggests, yep. or I believe it's 1 Timothy 2 suggests that we
somewhere
pray
in
for.
Timothy.
Timothy. In the book of 1 Timothy. And so there's already going to be a like liberal leaning slope, especially when it comes to abortion, because good Christian women who are just having babies are not like screaming at the government to continue to let them have children. They're not screaming at the government to protect their children, because they're protecting their own children mm-hmm. by not murdering them.
Yep.
And so we don't have a necessary need to go to them about the things that just involve us, but the liberals are the ones that are the loudest, just by definition of their goal.
Yeah.
And so it's,
which is why we need post-millennialism, because
yes,
that like one of the other reasons that one of the reasons that are, even though I think it is it's not like a bad thing that conservatives want to be left alone to live quiet, peaceful lives, like that is the goal, right? But conservatives not speaking up for those things that allow us to live quiet, peaceful lives is part of the problem. Yes. And that comes most typically from a pessimistic eschatology, whether religious or not. Right. It's the idea that, well, things are going to get worse and worse, and there's not really anything we can do to win this fight. It's just kind of a long defeat. That is not the Christian worldview, right? So we are going to win, which means we fight to win. You don't just fight to lose. So we have to be.
Just fight, it's the mindset of the pilgrim.
Say that again, Carl.
You don't just fight to say that you fought and you did something.
Yes.
You fight to actually accomplish it.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and I think just to be fair to our Alma brothers, like they also like just fight to obey God.
Sure, sure.
Which is available, which is available.
Yeah, there are a lot of non-postmill Christians that still have an optimistic attitude about a lot of things, but yeah.
Well, even not even just having an optimistic attitude, but being like, yeah, this will probably fail, but I'm supposed to do this.
Yeah.
Like those people I like can respect.
Yeah.
But it's the people who are like, well, you know,
we can't really
use their eschatology as an excuse to not obey God.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
And obviously I believe that postmillennialists have a more consistent viewpoint with how they obey Christ, but I don't think I don't think it's just post-mills that are fighting about this.
Oh, sure. So my point
there
is,
there are a lot of people that don't fight because of that.
Yeah, exactly. My point is that liberals by definition are post-millennial in their own worldview, right?
Yeah.
And that's why they win. It's because they actually have an eschatology that ends with their victory, and they actually act like that's going to happen. Right.
Yeah.
And so that's the sort of attitude you need to win. So as much as I love our all-mill and pre-mill brothers who like just obey God because they know that's the right thing to do, you need a little bit more than that. Like you to actually accomplish it, you need a little bit more than that, right? You need the certainty that you are going to win. You need the actual promise of Christ going before you to ensure your victory, to actually give you the proper motivation to take the right steps to fight well, right? And without that extra oomph, it's not, you know, God can do whatever, you know, God can make straight lines with crooked sticks. But unless the Christian church as a whole buys into the post-millennial vision, we won't win like the liberals are winning, right? That's part of the issue, is we have to be able to look at our, like, fight as one we are guaranteed to win, and then we'll start fighting with joy and with like oomph and gusto and all of that other stuff, right? That's the like the secret ingredient to actually winning this fight is
secret ingredient to our recipe of success.
Exactly, is post-millennialism. So get post-mill or go broke. I guess I was trying to think of like a more rhyming, because it's like go woke or go broke or whatever. And some people say go woke and go broke. But I was trying to think of like some sort of like rhyming scheme there. But
go post mail, get red pill.
Yeah, but it does not. Doesn't. Never mind. That's not what I was going for. It is about. Cool.
Yeah, I think we just came up with three really cringy like televangelist book titles, but meaning, you know, good Christian things with it.
Yeah. Sure. Carly, do you have any last thoughts on this topic? Because your mic has been whenever we talk, when you're talking, it's harder to hear you. So I just want to make sure your voice is getting heard in this discussion.
The one other thing I was thinking about when we were talking about just liberals being the louder ones, is like, yeah, the liberals think that their rights are being infringed upon. So that's why they're so upset. They think that, oh, I'm personally being attacked, me or, you know, women in general. And that oftentimes includes the people that are fighting. They're like, this is an attack on me and my personal rights. And people that, you know, believe that abortion should be abolished don't feel like our personal rights are being infringed upon, because they're not really, we're not the victims necessarily, but the Bible gives us a command to rescue those being taken away to death. So we have to be louder than we are, because like we're supposed to be standing up for innocent lives. We shouldn't care about political issues only when it affects us and our own personal families.
Yep. Yeah, because we are commanded by Christ to love our neighbor, which means we have to care about cultural issues. We are commanded to care about it. So.
And just one last note to just to anger the people we haven't angered yet.
Okay, sure. Got to get
one of the main issues that. What?
Got to catch them all.
Yeah, that's right. One of the main issues that I've seen in the churches that we've been to for years and years has been the idea that you don't preach politics from the pulpit. Mm. Yeah. And we have a separation of church and state almost in terms of like, well, we'll just let people believe what they want about politics as long as they believe the Bible. And that doesn't make any sense, because if you believe the Bible, like you were saying earlier, Caleb, like the point of this podcast is about how every sphere of life is to be put into subjection under Christ, because Christ is king over all of these things. So Christ is also king over politics. The pagan rulers don't get to decide who is human and who is not. The pagan rulers don't get to decide what is good and how do you love your neighbor. God decided that thousands of years ago, and he codified laws about it, reflecting the principles and characters of who he is. And we have a source of truth to tell us how we should govern and how our rulers are supposed to be governing us. And so we need to be very, very open to discussing politics and preaching about politics from the pulpit, because we have pretended unity for far too long, especially even just in terms of abortion. Like, I know churches that I shouldn't say I know churches. I know at least one church, and I know there are others out there that most of them probably agree, yeah, abortion is wrong. But the way that they would solve it is completely unbiblical and doesn't actually treat babies as babies like God does in the Old Testament by giving them the death penalty for even accidentally killing a baby in the womb. So we need to be very, very counter to that and actually talk about and deal with politics and, ask our leaders, ask our pastors, hey, how should we end abortion? And if they say, I don't know, we'll be like, well, God knows. You should probably look into that because you're supposed to be shepherding the flock. So, you know, how are we going to rescue those being taken away to slaughter? How should we rescue those being taken away to slaughter and actually deal with those, deal with the people that have awful beliefs about politics that have just been pretending to have two masters in the church for a very long time?
Cool stuff. Agreed. You guys should go check out what End Abortion Now and others are doing in Louisiana. Be up to date on that. If you can make it out to whatever next time they're like, whenever they're actually voting on it, they're going to try to get a big rally together right outside. So that they can put the squeeze on the supposedly pro-life politicians who are going to be voting on this thing. If you are in that area, go if you can. We live on the other side of the country, so we cannot. And we have a little baby, and we're broke. But right, if you can, that's going to be an incredibly important Christian historic thing to do, to get involved in. If you can do so, please do so. We love the apology people, the End Abortion Now people, and everybody else who's involved in that. Some really cool pastors and you know, hearing them speak about the issue. Some cool Baptist pastors in Louisiana who are at the forefront of this thing. Very exciting. Do everything you can to support those folks. And if Roe v. Wade doesn't get overturned, doesn't matter. Yep, just keep trucking along.
Yep.
So
it's the cherry on top. We'll deal with it after.
Yeah. If we don't deal with it, you know, some people like to eat their cherry first, you know? Other people like to eat the cherry as part of the whatever else it is. So, you know,
that'd be ideal.
This will just tell us one thing. It will tell us whether or not God is the type of person who eats the cherry before or if he likes to eat the cherry. Okay. Anyway, we're going to stop that.
You were this close to Thackerwood.
I would like to think I'm this close to greatness, but all right.
Finn is not amused. Dad.
Finn has been so adorable this entire time. He's just been like, go like this. Very, very.
He's been fussing on and off, but
at least he looked cute.
So I have a question. Mm-hmm. Caleb, do you know how to make gifts?
Yes, I could do that.
You should make a gif of Carly going. Because that is going to be 10 out of 10 gif material.
Wait, did that just happen? Did I miss it?
You said we're broke.
Oh.
I was like, hey.
Very good. Very good. Okay.
Right. Sounds good. I want that as a gif, and then we can
use it in our family group chat.
Yeah, we can meme it. We can meme it and you know have it say when your husband exposes tells the world that you're broke.
I mean, at least I talked at length on Twitter about how many car issues we've had this past week. I think most people know already if they follow.
That's
me
the
Twitter,
main reason. So. That's the main reason we're broke.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But yeah, I mean, honestly, guys, if you want me to make gifts, just let me know. We can fill our family group chat with all sorts of custom gifts. That would be very fun.
Yes,
I would be excited for that. If you ever have like just a movie clip that you just want me to turn into a gif, I can find a way to do it. Yeah. All right.
Well, that's your first mission. Okay, we gotta make that gif.
Sounds good. I will.
Oh,
do
did
so.
You want to? Yeah. Do you want to announce on here that you're making albums?
Oh yes, sure. Yeah. Yeah. So, I've been sitting on a bunch of music. Yeah. Speaking of like the name of this podcast, The Christian Artist, let's talk about art for a second. So I've been sitting on a bunch of music for quite a while now, that I hadn't like mastered and kind of prepared for actual consumption and just had sitting on my hard drive. I finally got around to like organizing a bunch of it into 4 separate albums and mixing and mastering it and making it ready for everybody's ear holes. I basically going to be releasing 4 albums over the course of the next 4 weeks. I guess I just released one over the weekend. It's a very short one. It's basically just each of the songs are like 30 seconds to a minute. So it's for this first one. And it's basically just like cool commissions that I've done for people for various like podcast intros and stuff. So at the very least, you know, fun to listen to and there's some fun tracks in there. Over the next 3 weeks, I'll be releasing more like substantial albums and those will go on. So the first one that I just talked about will go on Bandcamp. All the other ones will go on Bandcamp and all of the other places that you get music. So if you're just like a Spotify user, don't worry, you can listen to the next 3 albums on there for free. And if you honestly, the best case scenario is go to Bandcamp, buy the album, and then listen to it on Spotify, because that way I get the most amount of money. Because not only did you buy it, but you're also listening to it on a service that gives me cents when you listen to it. So the next 3 albums are on this next weekend, I'm releasing the score for Rain and Potatoes, the vlogs that I made about actually everyone here was there except for the children, of course, the trip to Washington, to go visit Carly. Filming the whole time and made a couple of vlogs, for that. And I'm planning on sometime before the summer is over, from now until the summer is over, I'm planning on actually finishing those vlogs. So we're going to return to them. So I thought it was a good time to kind of release the music I had scored for it and, get people, interested in that again. I know, Mama Pinch was excited when I told her that I was going to actually edit those vlogs. So that's going to be released. So fun little kind of instrumental album. There's also a, remastered version of Carly's, spoken word poem that she wrote about her first visit to Wisconsin. That's all in that album. Cause I'm going to include it in some of the next vlogs. As part of the soundtrack, because she talks about us coming to visit her soon. That's like in the spoken word poem. So that'll be cool. And then the next two, so one is an orchestral album called Stories from Everywhere. It's basically a bunch of different orchestral pieces that I worked on for various things that don't really fit into anything as like a full album. So I just like put them all together. So some fun orchestral music there. And then the very last one is going to be called Ghosts of Yester Yonder. And it's going to be basically every demo, like lyrical song that I have made from the moment I started making those until now. So including, a bunch of old songs that I've written, some of the new Crow Inquisitors songs that I recorded. It also includes Connor. Connor's on one of those songs. You remember that? Remember that song that we recorded?
Attempt to scream.
A long time ago. So a demo of a song that Connor and I wrote together. And Connor sung it while he had a cold. And we were in the wrong key the whole time. So it is not its final form.
I did screamo.
Hey, I thought I just listened to it again the other day and it wasn't as bad as we thought.
It makes me like, it's one of the only things that embarrasses me.
Oh no.
When I hear that.
I'm sorry.
I hear myself pretending to do screamo.
I am going to release it to the entire world.
I'm so excited.
3 weeks. So.
People should pay extra for that one. I don't think so.
Well, you can listen to it in a couple of weeks here, Mickey. So yeah, lots of stuff like that. I also have on that album the song that Connor and Carly and I wrote for Connor's proposal to Mickey. So it's just me singing it. So it's not as special, obviously, because it's not Connor singing it. But it was the version that I recorded for Connor to listen to while he was practicing to sing it to you. To you, Mickey. So,
am I allowed to sue you for this?
No, I credited you in the credits as one of the songwriters. So,
yeah. Look at him.
Fast asleep now.
He's so cute.
Oh, he woke himself up. I do that too sometimes, Finn, when I'm falling asleep.
He said, "I'm gonna head out."
But yeah, so some fun music coming up, and there'll be other fun artsy things that I'm going to try to release. I've been sitting on for forever that I want to try to get done, but music was the first on the list, so I finally got that all prepped and ready to go. So it's exciting. Got some fun stuff in store, but I think that's all, unless you guys have any last thoughts.
Well, this is a completely, totally random tangent, but I just can't get out of my head now.
Okay.
About that item ahead out thing.
Okay.
Because we've had Zach on the podcast.
Zach Viral.
Before.
Yeah.
Yep. And he legitimately, one of the things he loves to do in social situations is like be at somebody's like place and just be like, and that's it. I'm gonna go home and
just leave.
Immediately stand up and just walk out the door.
I love that,
not
man.
Say another word.
I love
and
it.
Get in his
so
car
much.
And drive away.
Yeah. Zach is seriously like one of my favorite people. Every time I hear something that he does, gives me life. Yep, he's funny.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Good stuff. We need to have him on again. Either on this fun. Or probably Disagree With Me would be a fun one to have him on.
You should have him on Disagree With Me about the
pacifism.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I don't think he wants to. I don't think he wants to talk about pacivism, but I've been trying to get him to debate.
We'll do it.
Angel on pacifism.
Cool.
Podcast.
Yeah. I also talked to Adam Schlesman the other day and I was like, hey, we're actually doing podcasts again. Do you want to come on? And he's like, yes, man, let's do it. And I was thinking like having Adam on Disagree With Me would be fun too. I'm sure there'd be topics we disagree on, but like stuff we could talk about at least to disagree with other people about.
I don't know. I'm sure there's something that I disagree with Adam on.
I mean, probably. I just don't know what it would be yet. So he seems pretty based. So
yeah.
Okie dokie. This has been The Christian Artist. Thank you guys for watching. You can find more news about when we're doing Christian Artist stuff at the Hellbreaker Studios Twitter and all the other stuff that we do on Twitch and YouTube and wherever else. You can find it there at studio_HBreaker on Twitter. And you can also go to ChristianArtistShow.com to get all of the episodes for The Christian Artist. We have, 187 of them? So there's plenty to listen to. Go enjoy. So. All right. That's it. We are out.